This is an audio summary for your AIL 80-102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 2, Cheap Changes Everything, by Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. Everyone has an AI moment coming. You know the drill with technology news? We're all numbed by the constant drumbeat of stories about how the next big thing will change our lives. We've heard it so many times that we barely react. Technophiles celebrate the future, technophobes mourn the past, and most of us just nod along, assuming the only constant is change itself. Until your AI moment arrives. Then you realize this technology really is different. For some computer scientists, the AI moment came in 2012, when a student team from the University of Toronto crushed the ImageNet visual recognition competition so thoroughly that every finalist the next year copied their deep learning approach. For some technology CEOs, it hit in January 2014 when Google paid over $600 million for DeepMind, a startup that hadn't made meaningful revenue but had taught its AI to play Atari video games at superhuman levels without being explicitly programmed to do so. For some regular people, it came when they first took their hands off the steering wheel of a speeding Tesla running autopilot. For China's government, it was watching DeepMind's AlphaGo beat the world's master of the board game Go, so significant that China called it their Sputnik moment and launched a national strategy to dominate AI by 2030. So how do economists cut through the hype and make sense of what's actually happening? They do what economists do, they look at prices. When the price of something falls, we use more of it. That's basic economics, and it's happening right now with AI is packed into your apps, optimizing power grids, replacing portfolio managers, and soon may drive you around or deliver packages. The hype is real, sure. But from an economic standpoint, what's actually happening is simple. Something important just got cheaper. Here's where the insight gets interesting. To understand how AI will affect your organization, you need to know precisely what price has changed and how that price change cascades through the broader economy. History teaches us that the impact of major innovations often shows up in the most unexpected places. Take the internet in 1995. That year, Microsoft released Windows 95, Netscape celebrated the first major internet, IPO, at over $3 billion despite being pre-revenue, and the US government removed restrictions on commercial internet traffic. Fresh MBA graduates turned down lucrative jobs to chase web opportunities. Everyone started calling it the new economy. Everyone, that is, except economists. Economists didn't see a new economy. They saw the regular economy experiencing a specific change. Things that used to be expensive to distribute, communicate, and search now became cheap. The internet made search cheap. When search got cheap, companies that made money selling search, the yellow pages, travel agents, classifieds, found themselves in crisis. Meanwhile, companies that depended on people finding them, self-publishing authors, collectible sellers, independent filmmakers, suddenly thrived. The relative cost of activities changed radically, reshaping business models and sometimes entire industries. But the economic laws didn't change. Everything still worked through supply and demand. This is the crucial mental move the authors make: reframe technological advances not as magic, but as a shift in what's expensive and what's abundant. Google didn't magically appear, it made search cheap. Now let's think about light. You're probably reading this book under artificial light, and you've never once thought about whether the cost was worth it. Light is so cheap we use it without hesitation. But here's the economics. In the early 1800s, artificial light cost 400 times what you pay now. At that price, you absolutely would think twice about turning on a light to read. When light became cheap, it transformed civilization. It let us work and live in buildings that natural light couldn't penetrate. Virtually nothing we have today would exist without that collapse in the cost of light. The technology made something fundamental so cheap that we went from consciously calculating its worth to not thinking for 1 second before flipping a switch. The economist Tim Bresnahan pointed out that computers, when you strip away all the hype, do arithmetic and nothing more. Computers made arithmetic cheap. When arithmetic became cheap, we didn't just use it more for traditional arithmetic tasks, we used the newly cheap arithmetic for things never before associated with arithmetic. Music, for instance. Ada Lovelace, working under very expensive light in the 1800s, was the first to see this potential. She wrote the first computer program, though the computer hadn't been invented yet, and realized that arithmetic machines weren't limited to mathematical operations. She imagined that if you could express musical composition in mathematical terms, an arithmetic machine might compose elaborate pieces of music. She was right. A century and a half later, when arithmetic finally became cheap enough, there were thousands of applications nobody had dreamed of. Steve Jobs never announced a new adding machine, but that's essentially what he kept releasing, new adding machines that transformed the world by reducing the cost of arithmetic. So here's where this leads. AI is about to make something important much cheaper. And that something is prediction. You might be thinking about intellect or reasoning or thought itself. Ada Lovelace had the same instinct, but rejected it. Computers, she wrote, had no pretensions to originate anything. They could only do whatever you told them to do. That objection, which became known as Lady Lovelace's objection, still stands. Computers still cannot think. Thought isn't about to become cheap. But prediction is everywhere. You probably don't even notice how ubiquitous it is. And when prediction becomes cheap, just like light and arithmetic before it, we're going to use vastly more of it, and we're going to see it emerge in surprising new places. Prediction is the process of filling in missing information, using the data you have to generate information you don't have. There are lots of fancy names for the techniques: neural networks, deep learning, reinforcement learning, and so on. But they all do the same thing: use information you have to generate information you don't have. The important question isn't how the techniques work technically, it's identifying situations where prediction will create value and then capturing that value. When prediction becomes cheaper, we'll use more of it in traditional tasks like inventory management and demand forecasting. But more importantly, we'll reframe entirely new problems as prediction problems. This ability to see a problem and reframe it as a prediction problem is what one expert calls AI insight, and engineers worldwide are developing this skill. Take autonomous vehicles. For decades, they existed in controlled environments like factories and warehouses where engineers could program basic if-then logic. If someone walks in front, stop. If the shelf is empty, move to the next one. But you can't code every possible if, then for a city street. Too many variables. Too many ifs? Then engineers reframed driving as a prediction problem. Instead of coding what to do in every circumstance, they asked, what would a human do? Now companies are investing billions training machines to predict human driving behavior by observing millions of miles of data. What action the driver takes given specific road conditions? When you make one input cheap, you increase the value of complementary inputs. Coffee made sugar and cream more valuable. When prediction became cheap, suddenly sensors, cameras, radar, lasers became much more valuable because you need good data to make good predictions. Intel paid $15 billion for Mobileye, primarily for its data collection technology that lets vehicles see the world around them. At low levels, cheap prediction just relieves humans of predictive tasks, saving costs. As you turn up the prediction dial, it improves decision-making quality. But eventually, prediction can become so accurate and reliable that it transforms how an organization does things. It stops optimizing the existing strategy and becomes the strategy itself. Here's a thought experiment. Amazon today operates on a shop-then-ship model. You browse, you order, they ship. Their AI recommends items, and you buy about 1 in 20. Now imagine Amazon's AI keeps improving, its predictions getting more accurate. At some point, the dial crosses a threshold. Prediction becomes accurate enough that it's more profitable to ship you what the AI predicts you want rather than wait for you to order. The prediction is good enough that the hassle of returns is worth it. That's a fundamentally different business model: ship then shop. Amazon would need to invest in returns infrastructure, maybe a fleet of pickup trucks. And the beauty is, this creates a feedback loop. More users means more data, better predictions; more customers, more data, better predictions. Adopt too early and you lose money on returns. Adopt too late and competitors catch up. Amazon actually patented anticipatory shipping in 2013, so this isn't entirely hypothetical. The point is that turning the prediction dial has massive strategic implications. It can shift your entire business model, create new investment requirements, and accelerate timing decisions. What does this mean for your strategy? First, invest in understanding how fast and far the prediction dial will turn in your industry and for your specific applications. Second, develop a thesis about what strategic options open up as that dial turns. Close your eyes, imagine your fingers on that dial, and turn it to 11. That science fiction exercise will show you what's possible. The authors structure the whole book like a pyramid. The foundation explains how machine learning improves prediction and why these advances differ from traditional statistics. Then comes the role of data, what types of data make good predictions, and how to know if you have it. Then the comparison between prediction machines and human prediction. Next layer, prediction as an input to decision-making and the critical component most people overlook, judgment. Prediction reduces uncertainty, judgment assigns value. When prediction becomes cheap, judgment becomes incredibly valuable. Then practical matters, AI tools and implementation. Three steps to figure out when building or buying an AI tool pays off. Sometimes tools fit neatly into existing workflows, other times they force you to redesign your workflow. Then strategy, when AI transforms your business model itself rather than just optimizing it. These are the moments that move AI from the operations team to the C-suite. Finally, societal trade-offs. More data means less privacy. More speed means less accuracy. More autonomy means less control. The book ends asking five big questions. Will there still be jobs? Will this increase inequality? Will a few companies control everything? Will countries abandon privacy for competitive advantage? And will the world end? The answer to that last one is no. You have plenty of time to derive value from understanding these changes. The single most important principle here is that prediction's dramatic drop in cost will reshape business models, create new strategic opportunities, and force organizations to reimagine what they do.